It is a universal idea that we contemplate as individual humans. What do we leave behind? What evidence was there left behind that we were here, aside from our poignant yearning to be forever remembered?
These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air, and like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea.
This sadness over our phantom human lives, our impermanence, is something Shakespeare wrote about in his play The Tempest, written at the beginning of the 1600s, just when human beings were beginning to collectively leave their irreversible marks on this earth, way before global warming. The human population of the globe was mixing with massive biological consequences. According to the latest geological research, the Anthropocene period, the era of humans, first big clunky footprints on Earth, begins in 1610.
This date has a resonance because in the 16th century, because of Christopher Columbus discovering the Americas, what we started to do in that century is move species around the planet. And it's the first time that the old world and the new world actually joined together. And so we were moving plants and animals and unfortunately diseases between the continents. And we've called this Orbis because this was the first time the world was joined. And that, if we go 100,000 years into the future and look back, that mixing of biota, which continues to today with ships moving species, invasive species to new locations, that will be the indelible mark that humans left on the Earth.
Professor Mark Maslin is the co-author of a study published in Nature that tries to nail down the moment humans began changing the Earth irreversibly on a mass scale. And the researchers found two strong candidates.
Well, the first thing is we can see in Marine Corps the first appearance of pollen from different species appearing on different continents in the 16th century. But the reason we pick 1610 is because we have the massive shift in biota starting, which is the big Earth shift, but we need a golden spike. And unfortunately, when we annexed the Americas, we also brought over lots of diseases, particularly smallpox. And we find that by the end of the 16th century, nearly 50 million people in South America had actually died due to this disease, due to starvation, and a little bit of genocide. Now, the key thing there is they're all farmers. And so, of course, what happened was the land that they cleared started to grow back natural vegetation, both of forest and also savanna. And we see that signal in the atmospheric carbon dioxide record. So all that carbon dioxide was being drawn out of the atmosphere to regrow this vegetation. And there's a beautiful spike, a dip in the greenhouse gases that we see beautifully focused on 1610. So that gives us the Earth shift, which is all the biota being homogenized across the world, but it also has a beautiful golden spike centered on 1610 that gives you that stratigraphic marker.
Well, beautiful in the sense that it signifies the death of 55 million people, right?
Well, again, it's a interesting viewpoint because what it says is the Anthropocene, our human age, meant that we are doing things because we feel that they're necessary. However, they do have unintended consequences. And moving biota across the different continents, we already now worry about invasive species, killing off local species. But of course, we had no idea that we were going to move killer diseases to a continent that had never actually encountered them before.
But the geologists found another candidate for the Anthropocene era, much later, the 1960s, when you can begin to detect signs of human nuclear shenanigans.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
1964, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove is released. The other golden spike, says Mark Maslin, the nukes.
The bomb spike. So if you look at ice cores or tree rings and you measure the amount of radiocarbon in them, their radiocarbon increases through their record from the first nuclear explosion in 1945 all the way through to 1963. Now, the nice thing is, in 1963, there was a partial bomb test treaty, which basically limited above-ground nuclear tests. And so the C-14 then dropped away markedly. And that peaks a year later in 1964. So it gives you a beautiful peak, and you can measure it in tree rings around the world. And that symbolizes the middle of the 60s. And the reason why people are interested in the 60s is because Will Seffen has called this the Great Acceleration. Impacts on the world accelerated through the 1960s. Population growth peaked at over 2% per year because we had invented wonderful medicines to prevent children dying prematurely. We were damming all the major rivers, and you see the CO2 and the other greenhouse gases accelerating into the atmosphere through that period of time and continuing to today.
Mark Maslin is professor of geography at University College London and co-author of a new study in Nature on dating humanity's geologic impact on the Earth.